Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. On a personal level, I'm well excited for next week with baptisms and eating food. We're going to start as we mean to go on, yeah? Baptising people and eating food, it's what we do best. Jesus did a lot of it, so we'll do a lot of it. So we love Jesus in this church, and today we are, as you can guess, we are celebrating Easter because Christ has risen, amen? And we're going to get straight into God's Word. So do you want to turn with me? We're going to be in Luke 24. Luke 24. If you don't have a Bible, the words will appear on the screen, and Rich will click for that bit. And the words will appear on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, you can pop your hand up if you want to, and the wonderful Stefan will bring you a Bible. And you can have that. You can keep that. You can read that for yourself. And so I'm going to be in Luke 24, and we're going to be verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Ta-da, they remembered it magically. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Listen to their responses. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, he got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Another word is saying marveling at it. Jesus has risen. Picture this. This is the first time one group of people told another group of people about Jesus' resurrection. This is the first time in history that had happened. First time that one group of people told another group of people that Jesus was alive. So it's Sunday morning, AD 30 or thereabouts, and a group of Jesus' female disciples, they've gone to his tomb to do the prep work for his burial. They're going to bury him. But when they arrive, the tomb's empty. There's two shiny men saying, "Nope, you shouldn't be looking here. Jesus is alive. He's not here." And instantly, what the women do, they scurry back into the city and they tell Jesus' male followers the whole story. Side note, it is interesting. It turns out, statistically speaking, that women are quicker than men on average to believe that Jesus is alive. Just interesting stat for you. And that's happened ever since this moment here. And so these women, they've gone to share the news about what's happened. They've gone to tell these guys what they've seen, what they've heard, and we get two reactions. We get two reactions from the group. We have reaction number one, and reaction number one we see in verse 11, it is to dismiss. Most of the men in this passage, they straight up dismiss this idea of the resurrection. It says in verse 11, "These words seemed like idle tale." The ESV words it as idle tale. The NIV says nonsense. These words seemed to them like idle tale, and they did not believe them. So that's reaction number one. And then in verse 12, we get reaction number two. We see somebody called Peter who decides what's he going to do. He's going to get up and he's going to investigate. He's going to find out about it. And so in verse 12, Peter rose and he ran to the tomb, stooping in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So that was 2,000 years ago. What's similar now is that people in 21st century Britain and the world, 2,000 years later, nearly everyone still reacts in one of these two ways. We either dismiss the resurrection or we investigate the resurrection. Some people dismiss the resurrection of Jesus. They say, nope. No, it's an idle tale. It's just a fairy story. It's nonsense. I don't believe it. Dead people do not rise. Or you have another group of people who are a bit like Peter, who investigate. They stop what they're doing, and they get up, and they go and check it out. Just in Peter's case, that meant running to a tomb. For us, it might mean running to a library, or running to go online, or running to a church and who preach about Jesus regularly. And so those two options, right, they are the choice to dismiss or investigate is before us all this morning as well. So for you, wherever you are in your walk of life, you have those two choices as well. And so what I've done, I've devised a cunning plan as, what's it, Baldrick, isn't it? Yeah. I've devised a little test to see what kind of person are you? Are you a dismisser or are you an investigator? Do you dismiss? Do you investigate? And so here is the test. Youth, do not cheat. All right, nobody cheat. I don't know why I'm talking to the youth. Don't cheat. Anyone in here, let it all play out. But what I've done, I've put a £10 note under one chair in this room. I don't know if someone's sitting on it or not. But well, I haven't put a chair under a £10 note. I put a £10 note under a chair. And so you're not allowed to look yet. I knew someone would like sneak their hand under. Like, just have a little feel, just have a little check, is it there? All right. Don't look yet. And you're going to have to wait until a bit later on in the message. And then make a choice. Am I going to investigate or not? Am I going to look and see, or am I going to dismiss this as, is he just trying to trick me? Can I trust him in this? But the reality is, all of us, when we hear claims and when we hear information, all of us dismiss some claims and we investigate others. So when are the moments when we don't investigate? When are those moments when we dismiss? Well, the truth is, There is just so much stuff in the world now for us to investigate everything. So, honesty moment, all right? For example, I have never looked into seeing if Elvis is alive. I've never done that. I don't plan on doing that. People have mentioned it. There's many websites about it. I could investigate it if I want to, but I've never chosen to look into it. I don't give it a moment's credence. I just move on with my day. Another example of some information that we sometimes get and we just dismiss it instantly. Last year, before Princess Catherine explained about her cancer treatment, there was constant claims from various corners of the internet making weird and wild claims about her. Here are some: that she disappeared, that she just disappeared, that she'd been replaced, that she had been substituted for a waxwork dummy. And so, again, all of these proved to be wrong. They later on, as she explained where she had been and what's been going on. But I never really gave it much time, never really investigated it when the claim came about. But why? Why don't we investigate these things? Often we don't investigate them because, just like the Elvis one and just like the Princess Kate one, often they come from sources which are quite questionable. You question the source. You're not really sure. Or they come from people who are sometimes motivated by the wrong things. They might be motivated by money or clicks or followers or likes or just for a bit of fun and just to be annoying or entertaining. We often dismiss some claims because the sources are unreliable or when we know that their motives are wrong. But we also dismiss claims because they don't really have much impact on our life. They don't really impact my life at all. For example, if Elvis was actually alive and he walked through those doors, other than going, that's pretty interesting, and okay, there's a guy who is Elvis coming through the door, it doesn't really impact my life at all. Right? My life is pretty much still the same other than hearing it in the news that he is alive. But there are claims, however, that we do investigate. There are things that we do choose to investigate. And so, for example, when we were looking to buy our first home, one of the things that we did, we found a house. And we looked at it, and my dad knows a little bit more about buildings and things like that than I do. And we were like, yeah, we're going to go for this house. This is a good house. And then my dad, who knows buildings better than me, said, I'm not sure on this house. There is another house down the road which I think would be better for you. I think you might find some issues with this house. And so as a result, Kim and I, we thought about my dad's claims, and we think, oh, actually, this is probably worth investigating, right? This changed how we thought about the house. It changed the situation and the steps that we took. We go, all right, we probably want to get a better survey on this house if it's not quite the right one. I might have to put a bit of money into checking this claim out a little bit more. A side note, the mortgage company said, there's something wrong with the house, you can't have it. So we didn't get that house anyway. But youth, listen to your parents. My point is not that, though, all right? My point is this. Many claims all the time that we get, that we give credence to, we hear the claims and we think, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's really probably worth me looking into because the source seems relatively reliable. My dad is, he's not going to definitely get it right, but he probably knows more than I do about buildings. He's not motivated to lie to me. He's not that mean, all right? And it would make a big impact on my life. It would cost a heck of a lot more money to have made the error of buying this house and not just checking it out. So with that in mind, how would you decide whether or not to investigate the claim that underneath your chair there is a £10 note? You might process it this way. You might go, well, the person who's making the claim, he's a church pastor. He's probably not motivated to lie. Actually, it's probably the opposite, because if he's lying, then I can't believe anything he's saying. And so, does it impact my life? A £10 note is better than being punched in the face. So, yeah, it's not hugely impacting my life, but it's nicer to have the £10 to not have £10. I could buy a few cups of coffee. I could buy some McDonald's. And so as a result, you think, I don't really want to leave it stuck to my chair. I don't want to just leave it on the bottom of my seat. It might be a little bit rude to do that. Just leave it there. That's a bit rude. And maybe I'll check it out. Maybe you're doing it when no one's watching. You're like, yeah, I'm just. Whilst I was yabbering on a minute ago, you were probably like, just gonna little check. And that's probably what you have been doing. Just to, my expectation is that people in the room have tried to check already, and someone's going, yes, I've got it. But the choice of investigating or ignoring the story of the resurrection is the Easter version of the £10 test. That's what it is. Do you just dismiss the story of Jesus as stupid or silly or as our idle tale? We know that didn't happen. Or do you say, well, I'm going to check that out because it could be true. And if it was, it would make a big difference to my life. So I'm going to check that out. So just as with the £10 note test, how are you going to decide which of those two things to do? Just like how we process the £10 note test, is the person making the claim reliable? Are the witnesses to Jesus, the ones that we read historically and biblically, are they reliable sources? Are they people who are motivated to make things up? And there are plenty of people in world religion. There are many people in the world who are hustlers and con artists in the world. Are these those types of people? Are these those types of people to make the claim? Have they got skin in the game? In the claims that they're making? Are they going to gain honor and status and wealth and power by inventing this story? And the answer to that is a definite no. Right? These biblical witnesses, they had nothing to gain, but they had absolutely everything to lose. By claiming that Jesus was alive, many of them were then thrown in jail. Many of them were tortured. Many of them were even killed for saying this. And that's been the case for millennia onwards. And I know that doesn't prove that they were telling the truth, all right? They might be prepared to die for something that they didn't know was 100% true, right? Someone might die for something that they think is true. However, it would be uber weird for somebody to die for a belief that they 100% knew was not true. Right? It wouldn't be impossible, but the likelihood of someone saying the tomb was empty, right? Sorry, the tomb wasn't empty. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to lie and I'm going to say, yeah, he is. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to jail for that. I'm going to die for that. I'm going to be killed for that. I'm going to be tortured for that. That's beyond odd. That just doesn't quite add up. As well as that, if these witnesses had made it up, they wouldn't have told the story this way, right? The witnesses were telling people who were Jewish in AD 30. Jews at the time, they would have not believed and wouldn't have shared the information that somebody in the middle of history had died and come back to life. Right? The general USP, the unique selling point for Christianity, was not going to be very fruitful with this group of people. And yet they still did that. And secondly, how the story is told. Who are the witnesses that we see? Who are the ones who run to the group? It's women. It's women who run there. And so they were not, at the time, reliable witnesses. Obviously, in our world, we say, oh, that's terrible, but it was a different time. It's a different world. And my point is this. If these people were making up a story, if this was made up, they would not have said that the women went. They would have said, oh, Peter went. They would have told us about that. They wouldn't have told us about the women. So for what it's worth, I don't think that these are unreliable witnesses at all. I think that the way they've written the stories, the things they're witnessing to, the ways that they lived afterwards, they didn't seem to be witnesses who were liars and in it for selfish gain, but reliable witnesses who have nothing to gain from making any of this up. However, having reliable witnesses, that's all good. That's all fine. But there's a much bigger question when deciding whether to dismiss or investigate. And it's probably the reason why most people don't investigate Jesus. And it is this. Would it make any difference if Christ was raised from the dead? Would it make any difference to my life if Jesus was raised from the dead? And so my answer to that would be a yes. Absolutely it would. And here's four reasons, really quickly, four reasons, not a comprehensive list. Why I think that. And so firstly, the resurrection matters because it means something. It means, first of all, that there is a God. If Jesus rose from the dead, we can't have this process where we simply view the world as material in which everything is matter and there's nothing spiritual and there's no God and there's no purpose and there's nothing. If Jesus rose from the dead, what it does, it throws every bit of that up in the air. And you might be thinking, but okay, there might be a God. I get that there might be a God. But what's the resurrection got to do with anything? Well, Jesus is not just any God. He's not a God who made the world and he just leaves it to run its course. In the person of Jesus, instead, we see a God who is intimately involved in all the areas of our world and who works wonders to heal it and to restore it. And that's the beauty of the resurrection, is that we see what God is like, that he is the kind of God that is intimate with his creation. He wants to know it and he wants to restore it and he wants to do wonders to heal it. We sang a song earlier, In My Savior, I am happy and blessed. That we can sing that as Christians because of the resurrection. So firstly, the resurrection means that there is a God, but secondly, it means that death is beatable And not the way that we think in our world that death is beatable, in the way that we think, if I can cryogenically freeze my brain or upload my brain onto something or cryogenically freeze myself, then I can live forever and death is beatable that way. No, but death is beatable by the resurrection, which is a crazy thing to say when we think it through. By going through death and out the other side into new, indestructible life, that's pretty good news for us. If we follow Jesus, we follow his path, we go from death into indestructible life. That's our journey. That's where we are heading. And so through the resurrection, you and I can live eternally in a resurrected new creation. Also, the resurrection means sin is forgiven. It means that sin is forgiven. This might be a bit more of a stretch for you, but to put it this way, if Jesus died on the cross, his claim was that he was the substitute for our sin, for all of our mess, all of our wrongdoing, so he was the substitute, and then the result is that he was brought back to life. It strongly suggests to me that the sacrifice was accepted. The sacrifice was accepted by the Father, which means that Christ's sacrifice was enough for God to forgive me and to forgive you, to forgive all of us. This is good news because all of us, all of us have done some terrible things that we need forgiveness from. To know that forgiveness is available to you and me this morning, that's a big deal. Yeah, it makes a difference to our lives that Christ died raised from the dead. And finally, resurrection means that life has the last word. A fourth example, if Jesus had risen from the dead, it means that life and not death has the last word. So if you were to ask the average Bognarite their views on the end of life's story, what does it look like? They would say something like, well, it's one day you stop breathing and you then you go into the ground and you gradually decompose or you get put in a furnace for cremation and you get burnt up and that's it. Picture of life. Is life is swallowed up by death. And that is just so depressing. That's the story of our world. So depressing. However, in Christianity, if Christianity is true, then the opposite is the case. The opposite is what happens. Ultimately, what we see in the resurrection is death is swallowed up by life. Death is swallowed up by life. And I have a new life and a new body in Jesus. That's big. That's a big difference to your life and to my life. And none of these things, they don't prove that the resurrection is true. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning. What it means is that if the resurrection was true, it would make enough of a difference for you to start maybe thinking about or start investigating these claims. So I ask you this morning, will you dismiss or will you investigate? Who wants to investigate what is under their seat? I'll let you, why don't you do that? Why don't you check under your seat? If you've got spare seats next to you, why don't you have a look, have a feel? It's interesting that some people are sat there a little bit and they're like, I'm not looking still. Has anyone got it? Hopefully they have. You might have to get down on your knees. Might be a bit weird. You can have a look. Hey, there we go. You can have that. You can keep that. All yours. It's in a bag, so it didn't rip. It is a genuine £10 note. The bag's a bit rough, sorry. But I wanted to protect the £10 note. That's for you. You can do whatever you like with it. The rest of you, you don't leave empty-handed. Don't worry. We've got cream eggs at the back. Hey! But as we finish, I want to extend an invitation to three different groups this morning. The first one, being to those who you've never investigated before, to begin investigating Jesus for the first time. You've not really looked into him. You've heard about Christianity, but you haven't quite believed it. You may have even dismissed it at times and thought this is a load of gump, all right. But now coming along to church even for the first time, or thinking maybe I should start looking into this at some point. If you fall into that camp, we've got a wonderful course at our church called the Alpha Course. It's a great course where you can ask your questions. You can go, I don't understand this, and just find out a little bit more about what all this is all about. So you can chat to me, come chat to Kim, and we'd love to get you connected into that. If you're somebody who listens to podcasts, just encourage you with this one. This is called the 321 Podcast. Why not have a listen? So you can scan that QR code. Rich, we can keep that on after the meeting and people can scan it when they need to. But it's a podcast connected to a course. Again, we're doing Grace Church called 321. And it's a podcast that has a discussion between different people who have investigated whether Jesus is worth dismissing or investigating or not. It's worth your time. It's worth a listen. You will be encouraged. Even if you're a Christian and you believe the gospel, it's really encouraging stuff to listen to. So do have a listen. But it's worth definitely, if you are thinking of investigating God or Christianity for the first time, worth listening to that. Enjoy that. The second group, so that was group one. Group two, maybe you've already done some digging. Maybe you've already done some investigating. Maybe you're a young person you've grown up in church and you've done some digging. Maybe you've done that before. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you've even done an Alpha course before and you're thinking, you know what? I think now is the right time to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus, who's been crucified and risen from the dead on my behalf. Maybe now is the right time. I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Maybe for you it feels like it's now is the moment to commit yourself to God, to turn from your sin, to trust Jesus' work and to follow him. So that's group two. And then group number three, the third invitation is to those who say that they are a Christian. They say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. However, right now, you know that you're not living as Jesus is Lord of your life. In fact, in many ways, you're living as if Jesus was still in the grave. In fact, you're living as if he is not even risen. It's as if you know that there's a £10 note under your seat. You know it's there, but you're not taking it and you're not spending it and enjoying it. Maybe that's you. Easter is a brilliant opportunity to recommit yourself to following Jesus. Notice who is the one. So there's one person in this passage who runs to investigate. And this person, he's called Peter. And when Jesus died, he had an opportunity to stand up for Jesus. He had an opportunity to speak out. And he decided not to. He really let God down. He really let God down. If you think you've let God down, he trumps you, I'm afraid. And yet, who is he? He is the one who runs to the grave. He is the one who seeks out God, and he would, if he was alive, if we heard what he said, I reckon it would be something like this. If this is true, this is such good news for me. Even me. If God's going to forgive everyone, and he forgives even me, oh, such good news. And he runs. He was committed to Jesus. He'd already given his, he's already saying, I want to follow you, I want to trust you. And he really lets God down. He's the one who runs to the tomb. Let's join him in running to the tomb. If that's you, respond like Peter, run to the tomb and know Jesus forgives even me. Jesus forgives even me. And I want to say this to us all this morning. The tomb is empty. Jesus has risen. Let's not dismiss the resurrection as nonsense. Let's check it out. Happy Easter. Amen. Well, I want us to pray. The band are going to come up. We're going to pray. Let's stand. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for us this morning, maybe to recommit for the first time. It's going to be a prayer of commitment. If you pray that along with me, let me know after. I'd love to talk to you, love to chat with you. If you pray this along with me, we'd love to know that. And we've got baptisms next week. It's an opportunity. Come and talk to us. So I'm going to pray. God, we want to start by saying thank you. Thank you that death is not the end. That life swallows up death through what you have done. It's nothing that we have done. We've been singing it all morning. It's all because of what you have done. And so I just pray, oh God, that you just minister to us now. Lord, I pray for those this morning who are just questioning, shall I investigate this? I pray, Lord, that they will step out in faith and just go and start to check it out. I pray for those this morning who want to commit themselves to Jesus for the first time, or those who have struggled since they've committed themselves to you, Lord. We come now and we say we're sorry. I'm sorry, God, for where I fall short. I thank you that you died the death that was mine, that you were the substitute, and that your substitution was taken, as that it was enough, and that on the cross when you died, that you didn't stay dead, you rose to life, and that's my journey. I want to accept that, Lord. I want to accept Jesus into my life again. I want to say sorry for where I fall short. Will you help me, God, to know you and to trust you more? Help me to follow you wholeheartedly all the days out of my life, not out of duty, but out of joy because of what you've done for me on the cross and with the empty tomb. We praise you for the empty tomb, that our hope and our future is not the tomb, but is with Jesus in glory in paradise. We look forward to that day. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that, won't you talk to me after? Love to chat with you. Love to hear if you prayed that prayer. We're going to worship Jesus now and praise him.